Hello. Welcome to our first half results conference call. Thank you again for being here on a Friday afternoon. As usual, I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, and Gonçalo Morais Soares, who will do his usual results presentation, and João Conceição, the company's COO, who will also be ready to answer any questions you may have in the end. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being with us for this results call. Results are in line with the market expectations. During the last quarter, we didn't have any special event to report. We kept our focus on the operations and our regular management activities. I must refer that we maintain some extra focus on integration of Portgás. So far, we are quite happy in how the process is moving, and I can say that all is happening according to our best expectations. Our quarter results are showing that we were right in making this and Eletrogas investments. Total EBITDA benefited from the integration of Portgás distribution activities, but was penalized by lower interest rates than in the first half of 2017. Net profit was flat versus last year. Results were hurt again by the special levy on energy companies. And I can anticipate, you know, with some frustration, that contrary to my own expectations, the case is not having much progress, and we are still waiting for the court decisions. The delays that we are suffering are considered to be irregular by our legal advisors, and there is not much we can do about it. Our financial teams are doing a great job at keeping financial costs down, despite a slightly higher level of debt, and that is something I would like to highlight. Regarding operations, this year we are not having the wildfire challenges that we had last year, and that's very good. And service and security levels have been kept at normal, very high levels. Last May, we presented, as some of you know and attended, we presented our strategic plan for the next 4 years, and the main drivers are precisely linked to keeping the focus on operational excellence, focus in Portugal, stable business, with a solid financial performance. The government is moving with their plan of licensing more solar generation projects. Just by coincidence, yesterday was inaugurated the first plant that has been connected to our substations. This is a 46 megawatt project. It's the first of several that will require investments on our side. According to the information we have, there are over 4,000 megawatts of licenses under evaluation. And of course, not all of them will be granted, but there is a lot of positive expectations from many promoters. From my side, this is my introduction, and I will now move to Gonçalo. He will do the presentation, and then, like Ana said, the three of us will be ready to take any questions you may have.
Hi, hello, good afternoon. So in terms of main highlights and complementing, following on Rodrigo, so we have an EBIT of around 252 million, which is an increase of close to 10 million euros or circa 4%. This is mainly explained on the positive side by the Portgás integration, and I'd say on the minus side by the evolution of the rates of return, which I'd say are completely within line. Slightly, I'd say rates came down a little bit more than expected, and we'll go into that, but I'd say more or less in line with what we expected. That means that net profit is basically in line with last year, and this results also because of higher amortization, despite the fact that financial results continuing to improve, not as much as in previous years, but continue to improve a little bit. Finally, and in the highlight, so as you saw, we saw the LPG business. It was something which was clearly not strategic for us. It was our intention to do so, and it brought a nice windfall of around 4 million, which you see also reflected in our net income. So moving on and going to slide number 4 directly, as slide number 3 is just the main highlight. You can see in slide number 4 the evolution of the rates. I think that Portuguese bonds, as well as other bonds, have in the past few months, I'd say, a pretty positive evolution. and I'd say a little bit more than expected, which means that the base rates are coming down a little bit more than anticipated, but not a lot more. And so we have now base rates of electricity of around 5.2 and in gas of around 5.5 in transmission and 5.8 in distribution. Coupled with this, and in slide number 5, you can see CapEx numbers. CapEx numbers, as you know, in the middle of the year are not very relevant yet. As you know, most of the CapEx done in the transmission is done in the second half, but they are more or less in line, given the fact that we are already including around 9 million that we are doing in import gas this year. Transfers to RAB are actually increasing a lot because of some projects that we have already under construction at the end of the year, but we're only concluding and have the license awarded at the beginning of this year. But apart from that, I would say that it's in line with what we've expected and we have in the budget. In terms of the average RAB, what you can see it's that it's going to up around 11%, and this is mainly and this is in slide number 6. This is mainly due to the consolidation of Portgás that brings around 460 million. Of course, and in line with what we've told you before, and this is exactly why we also did a Portgás transaction. If it was not for this, the average RAB would be coming down around 75 million, which is what we've been expecting. Again, I stress that this change in the middle of the year is always slightly higher, or much higher than the average of the full year because, as I said, most of the CapEx on the transmission business is done at the end of the year while the amortizations are more or less the same along the year. But as you can see, we are still in growing electricity with premium and decreasing the other parts, namely electricity without premium. If you join these two, evolution of rates and evolution of CapEx, you can see in slide number 7 the impact in RAB remunerations. So we see that in both cases, in electricity and in gas, you see a decrease. And this is mostly the impact of the rates of return in both cases. In gas, you also have a slight decline of the regulated asset base that is being felt, but apart from that, and in gas distribution in Portgás, you actually see that the balance is, despite the fact that we have the impact also of the rates, is much smaller because we have the asset base growing along the year. In terms of OPEX, again, the numbers are a little bit not confusing, but they are impacted or distorted by the fact that we acquired Portgás. You see that there is a 11 million of OPEX that you have in there. Apart from that, I'd say that if you look at the next slide, in slide number 10, you see that core OPEX is growing this 5.7. Part of this is clearly Portgás. If not, it would come down. But in terms of, I'd say, the normal transmission business, I'd say flat costs are, for OPEX, are more or less flat, going down only a little bit, which I'd say is also in line with what we are expecting for the year. Okay, what you actually see is other costs like the ITC mechanisms and energy transportation have an impact, but those, as you know, are pass-through costs. Okay, so I'd say that in terms of OPEX, we are in line with recent trends of still trying to decrease costs, but not at the same speed or not as much as in previous years because we are already at a good efficiency level. So moving to slide number 10, you can see the full impact in terms of EBITDA of all of these effects. So as I said, you have on one side the Portgás EBITDA, the gas distribution EBITDA going up around 20 million, asset remuneration and the recovery of amortizations coming down almost more or less the same amount. And then you have a good impact in terms of OPEX, also due to Portgás. But then, and you can see in the last one, in Electrogas, and I can give you a little bit more detail on this. It's coming down a little bit on a year-on-year comparison. This is due to the fact that in the beginning of the year, they have a little bit less what they call interruptible contracts. So they are variable contracts because of less exports that they have done to Argentina. But I'd say that looking at the forecast that they have, the company is pretty much in line with what we expect, and we don't really expect any negative impact on a year-on-year going forward. So that explains EBITDA. If we look below EBITDA and the depreciations, again, these reflect also the fact that we are adding the gas distribution into the mix. If you take that out, they are more or less flat. They're actually decreasing a very small amount. Financial results, as I said, I'll comment a little bit more in the next slide. On the tax side, you see this unfortunately, and as Rodrigo said, we are still paying the fares and the extraordinary tax. It's still burdening us with more than 25 million. There's no news on this yet. On a year-on-year comparison, and there is, I'd say, a slight non-negative, non-recurrent impact because last year we have some extraordinary recuperations from fiscal authorities, which is a normal process, but they were slightly higher last year. That impacts slightly negatively on a non-recurrent basis the taxes and the net income this year. Looking at financial results, I'm going to slide 12. So what you can see is that financial results are improving. Net debt is also improving. So the average cost of debt has been coming down. It's around now 2.3%. This is, I'd say, what we've been giving you as guidance also for the year, that it would not, and it's been coming down, but it would not this year come down as much as it has in previous years. It has still come down a little bit. But at the same time, we acquired Portgage, and so the level of debt has come up. But also, as we said, cash flow would improve a good bit, and so we've been able to actually decrease net debt ahead of schedule. So I'd say that in terms of credit metrics, we are in a comfortable position with what we've been telling the rating agencies. And I'd say that there's no major news here on the horizon, and we'll see how we move forward in terms of refinancing. But as of now, we have no need to do any additional refinancing in any immediate time, but we'll consider doing it as market conditions are good for that. So looking at slide number 13, it's just a mix of both impacts, so that's why you get net profit pretty much, I'd say, flat on the first half. Finally, and concluding with slide 14, I'd say that there's, as I said, I commented the LPG already. I'd say that the dynamics of the numbers speak for themselves and are very much in line as normal with our own expectations for the performance of the company. So thank you very much. And with that, I would open up the floor to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 to initiate for a question. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We'll now move to our question today from Sara Piccinini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is regarding your potential external opportunities. The press was reporting about possible interest in electricity distribution concessions in Portugal. If you can please comment on that, and if this is confirmed, what is the timetable of this tender? The second question is on another article that came out about a consumer association that warns that gas distribution companies are overcharging about the subsoil tax. So they want this to be paid from distribution companies while the budget law, as established by the budget law. So how this could affect Portgas, and also if you can confirm about your contract with EDP when they sold EDP gas, if this is included in the contract. And finally, a question on the governments. Could any takeover on EDP from a Chinese company affect also REN's shareholding structure? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. I will start with the first question about the potential opportunities. We are following our strategic plan. We don't have anything to report at the moment. We're still in the process of learning what's going to happen in terms of future, availability of licenses for distribution in Portugal. What we know is the public stuff that is under consultation. Still very, very early in the process, and there is nothing really we can share. We didn't even discuss these at board level. It's just too early because we still need to learn, and this will take time. As soon, of course, as we take a decision, we will be able to talk about it, either being go or no go, or interest or no interest in the situation. But it's just too early to talk about that. On the second, you mentioned, it's a complex issue. I apologize not to be able to comment too much because, this is still going on. This is in the phase of the back and forward from, you have talks from the politicians, you have talks from the regulators, you have opinions given by independent, by consumer associations, and it's still very early to understand what's going to happen. For sure, we are monitoring these very closely. We so far we didn't make any public comment regarding these situation because we need to understand really what's going to happen. I think the remarks done by the regulator and those remarks basically were, if there is extra charges on this type of contract, then concessions equilibrium could be at stake, and personally, I believe this is a fair point. Of course, each company has their own contract, each company has their own accounting and P&L, and for the moment we are taking our usual approach. We are discreet. We are waiting to understand better what's going to happen. In terms of our own contract, what happened in Portugal, you have to apologize, but some of the terms of the contract, are not supposed to be disclosed, and I cannot do that. On the third one, I feel really bad about not being able to give you better answers or more meaningful answers to your all three questions. Again, what we have now in the market, it's very complex. It's an offer that does not relate to us directly, of course, because it's between, a shareholder of PDP and EDP. You have lots of comments that have been officially made by the company and their directors. You have a lot of rumors. There is obviously, always some expectation how this is going to end up. The offer is not yet being presented, on their final form, and I'm going to abstain of making any comments. If any of our shareholders want to make comments, this is something they will have to do. But I don't think, probably anybody wants to make too much comments because it's still the process. Our expectation is, this is going to take a lot of time. Even from experiences in Portugal in previous years, just by coincidence I know well, it took, more than a year. And then I say, I'm sure we will address these topics later in some other conference call that we will have in 3, 6, or maybe 9 months.
Thank you.
thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now move to our next question from Jorge Guimarães of Haitong. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Can you explain to us what is the current stage of the possible investment in Link with Morocco? And also related to that, how do you comment the takeaways or the statements that were made today in this summit on energy interconnections in Lisbon? What was discussed that is really new? And how would REN be involved? And finally, just a clarification on the, I assume that you mentioned an amount of megawatt to be installed in solar in Portugal. When do you expect to be able to include in your investment plan the interconnection or the connection of that capacity to the grid? Thank you very much.
Well, on the Moroccan connection project, you know, we are working together with the TSO of Morocco, and you know, it's part of a group that are developing some studies, and I believe those studies will be done, you know, towards the end of the year. And that's where we are. You know, this is a complex project. There will be at some point a very important decision that will have to be taken by the government of each country, but it's still early. We are working in the process of, you know, studying, you know, with something that it seems that the project can be done and should be done. But in the end of the day, this type of investment decision will have to be made by the governments. And the only thing I can say is, you know, we are working on the project. We have some of our engineers working with some engineers from Morocco, and also with some companies that have been awarded the studies a few months ago. And this is a process. It's too early to really to be able to talk about. In terms of the event that is going on, you know, there was some preliminary communications, but the event is now taking place, you know, as we speak. You know, the governments are now on a meeting talking about interconnections and energy in Europe and future investment priorities. Then, you know, all the communications that have been done so far are kind of, you know, communications to set the stage for the discussions. You know, these communications have been done by you know, the people who are organizing the meetings. The meetings do not include, you know, REN at all. You know, I don't think REN or any other company, because this is really a political, it's a very important meeting. It brings together, you know, the President of France, the Prime Minister of Spain, and the Prime Minister of Portugal. And we'll see, you know, we are waiting to understand what's going to be the end game. They spoke and they made some comments regarding the importance of the interconnection of in Portugal, Spain, in the north of the country. This is something that, you know, we absolutely agree on the importance of that connection. Otherwise, we would not have proposed to develop it. And most probably, you know, all these interconnections will be considered a priority. And you know, but we need to understand what's going to be the final communication that will come from these meetings later today. And I must say that any project that requires investment in terms of the grid or the equipment supporting the grid, including in the substations, you know, it ends up being positive. You know, it's something that you know, there is no downside for us in having more, you know, projects. If in Portugal and in Spain and in France, the governments really want to commit to a new level of interconnection capacity, you know, basically to go to 15% in a few years, I think that overall it's positive for the countries, but it's also positive, of course, for REN and for the TSOs of the other countries. You know, this is something that I, in my view, and I think, and I will ask João to comment on the last topic, but in my view, with increase of renewable energy generation in every country, you know, solar, wind, and of course hydric also, although it's always subject to, you know, lack or more or less or excess of water. The fact is, you know, all the TSOs need to have a very solid strategy on how to deal with the renewable systems, you know, with the intermittency coming from renewables. And that's something that we will require for sure, different investments in every country, but it's something that we know in the end of the day, again, you know, this will, you know, again, create more value for the people who are handling the grid, you know, because it's the core of all these systems. Do you want to comment?
Just complementing on specifically on projects that we have to develop to absorb solar generation. In fact, we have two projects that we have foreseen to be executed until 2020. That one of the goals is precisely to improve the conditions of the grid to absorb extra generation capacity. Those projects being the axes on Falangueira, Divor, Pegoins, and the other one in Fundão axes. Additionally to those, we have a quite significant project to develop in Alentejo. This one in our investment plans is foreseen for around 22-23. But this, of course, it will depend on the guidelines that our government and the regulator gives us, if it's necessary to anticipate this project, because the need for additional generation capacity integration is required. We are in conditions to start the environmental procedure licensing process as soon as the government and the regulator asks us. Thank you.
Thank you. It appears we have no further questions at this time, so I'd like to turn the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks. But as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any further questions, please press star one at this time.
So if there are no further questions, I'll pass the floor on to Rodrigo.
Okay. Thank you, Ana. I think, you know, we didn't have too many questions, I'm sure, because the presentations are good and the business is very stable. You know, no surprises, even at the moments where there is a few things going on in the market, as we heard through the question. Anyway, again, you know, it's great to be in the business where we are. You know, when we look forward, we really understand that the grids play a key role on the energy systems of any country. You know, there is now a new rumor in the market that you know, with the in the next couple of years, this will be an area of even more interest for investors because of the nature of our assets, the work we do, the importance we have, and also the fact that we have a business model that is a little bit different than most of the commercial companies. And with that, you know, I think that we feel good about what we are doing. I think we have a very solid strategy. We don't see any, you know, we have the challenges that all companies have, but we really, you know, are happy with where we are and what we have been doing so far. You know, the acquisitions are exactly according to what we wanted, and, you know, and we will stick to our plan, and we'll keep as a big priority the quality of service and efficiency of the teams. And with that, we wish you, you know, a good holiday for the ones who are going in holidays. And Anna is always available. We are all available if necessary.
Not only when I'm on holiday, please. But yes.
Also in holidays. Okay. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.